Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, the 12th of April. In other words, April 12th of 2022. And I am your host, the Miracle Man, coming to you here from Midland, Michigan, where I live. Some people call it Nowheresville, USA. And to be honest, I have to agree with all of these people who call this area of Michigan Nowheresville, USA. I have to agree because basically almost the only way you can go from here and find everything is south. Down to, Lansing, Detroit, and Grand Rapids, up north we just got, Traverse and, but about Midland, they always say, you don't come here unless, you know someone from Dow. Or the joke's been for years, you don't unless you're with Dow, or now you could say Living Word or Dow. Of course, I go to Living Word, but I always agree, when these people tease about it being Nowheresville, I honestly get a kick out of when Dr. Barclay calls it Nowheresville. I not only get a kick out of it, I wish you would say that more often. I do, because in my mind, it is. It's actually funny. For food in particular, for certain unless there's some other places in certain neighborhoods, certain sides of Detroit, food-wise, of the Detroit area. Food-wise, I almost feel like, I don't know if it's just because of Waffle House or what, but I would almost say that I might prefer Toledo over Detroit food-wise. That's kind of a shocker, Nephi, isn't that kind of a shocker? But part of that does have to do with, I think, maybe Waffle House and, there's a certain diner down there that I like, and I feel like the Chick-fil-A's are easier to find because Detroit, when it comes to Chick-fil-A, Detroit area, I don't know why they're mostly all on the west side of Detroit area. You don't get that either, but you've noticed that too, right? They're mostly on the west side of Detroit area. They're in Allen Park, west side. Novi, yep, west side. Northville again, west side. Utica, east side. Let me see. Somerset, middle, yeah. I always feel like if you're near 75, you can basically say you're in the middle. Wouldn't you think, basically? Even though 75 curves a lot, nonetheless, they got one in Dearborn. I would say almost the middle, You would say the same thing, Nephi, almost the middle, but not quite, almost.
What would you say?
I would say Nephi's still, Nephi, I would say Dearborn's still on the west side, but barely, right? Barely. Yep, on that part, maybe not of the city, but of the area as a whole, downtown Detroit would actually kind of be on the east side, kind of, sort of, when you think maybe a little bit. Kind of on the east side, I would say. Not quite, but almost. You'd say the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be all. So if you look at that, Dearborn's basically in the middle. But then Troy could use another one. Oakland University doesn't have one. I wish they still did. Unfortunately, they left. But Toledo's got like five in the area, maybe even six. Four in the city itself, one in the mall, one in the university, one on another road, one on another road. Of which I've been to two of those Chick-fil-A's. I mean, yeah, Detroit's got some really good places, of course, but I think of my personal ultimates because and Nephi, do you know anything about three-way chili, or have you never heard of such a thing?
No, I've never heard of it.
Maybe someone else knows. Oh, maybe Shannon knows. Shannon, you've ever heard of three-way chili or no?
Can't say that I have.
It's this idea of chili cheese and spaghetti that popularized in like the Cincinnati, Ohio area.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
It's actually really good. I've had it a few times down in my non-southern playground, I would say, because outside of the southern U.S., I would say Ohio would be my favorite place. Deleting everything in the South, that is. And by the South, yes, that includes Kentucky. And you say is part of why Ohio is one of my favorites. Does have to do with food, but it also has to do with amusements. Some of the biggest roller coasters in the world. As far as roller coasters that are like 300 feet or close to 300 feet and up, that state to the south has the most at three. No one else has that many. And one of them is at Kings Island, which I've only been to once, and they and that was back in 2013. I've been wanting to go back for years and years, but haven't had the opportunity. But wanted to go back for a while, and I told someone once about that state to the south as recently as a month ago that I actually wish Chicago was actually in Ohio and not Illinois. Or do you feel like Chicago being there would wreck it? Nephi, you don't think Chicago being in Ohio would wreck it, do you?
Chicago's known as the Windy City.
But I mean, like with all the other, with all the other stuff, who knows if that would record or not. I would hope not. To be honest, I would hope not, because at this point, I feel like that state to the south is where I want it to be. I mean, of course, so with it being more north, the weather might not be. But I mean, other than maybe winter climate, I love it. Wish there were more southern accents, of course, too, but food-wise, when I've been there, they know their stuff. They really do. And so, that being said, that's kind of my idea. Just kind of what's been on my mind lately. And if you've been to a Big Boy in Michigan, sadly, so many of them have closed. Down in that state to the south, they have a place that I've been meaning to try that I haven't had a chance to yet. It's called Fish's Big Boy, which is a I'm curious to see if they're better than the Bob's Big Boy that's actually headquartered in the Elias Brothers that started in California and is now headquartered in Michigan, Warren, Michigan. I'm honestly curious to see. I will be honest with you when I say that. I hope it is better. I hope it is better because I've had some good diners up here, but I still feel like one of my all-time favorite diner possibly that I've been to is the Schmucker's Diner that I might have told you listeners about before in Toledo, there on South Reynolds Road. There was a different diner, too. I need to find the name of it. I forget it, where I had this three-way chili. People might say, you've heard before, Nephi, that state to the south had a lot of diners, right?
Yes.
From what you've heard, only New Jersey has more. Is that the way you've heard it? Something like that?
That's what I have heard a lot about New Jersey.
What?
I haven't heard a lot about New Jersey.
You just know that Ohio had more diners than almost anywhere else, though.
Yeah.
And you've heard before that several of them are very old. Mm-hmm. Like they have a rich history with those things. Have you heard of these root beer stands too that are common in different parts of the state? You've heard of those too?
No, but I need to know where they are so I can go visit.
I know of one down there in the Cincinnati. There's got to be others. I need to find them.
Your favorite pop root beer.
I remember a few years ago that same trip where I had went to Kings Island, me, my mom and dad, listeners, I had went to one root beer type shop on the way home from Kings Island. I want to say I was at another shop on the 4th, maybe. I gotta remember. I don't think I bookmarked either one of them on Yelp, but I wish I did. That was back in 2013, back closer to the start of the whole smartphone craze, the period in which most all of us had a smartphone. But that was like 9-10 years ago. Hopefully they're still going. But it might have been at one of those was my first Coney dog. And ever since then, I've actually liked the Coneys. And they say Detroit is the home of the Coney. But You've also heard rumors that Ohio was too, though, but you don't know which to believe. Or is it just that Ohio tries to copy them the way you've heard it?
I've heard the rumors before.
That Ohio started them, or that Ohio tried to copy them?
That Ohio started them.
But in a way, it's like, who knows who really started them?
Yeah, that's true.
And by where in Ohio, you specifically heard Cincy, right? Like, it wasn't, like, just all over. Like, it was a certain part where, yeah, referring to right down the, you know, the I-75 and various areas. Of course, brought to you by 700WLW, of course, one of my all-time favorite radio talk radio stations. Probably 700WLW, and I used to say my favorite was 950 out of Detroit. Now I think it's WLW, home of course, the Great American every Sunday night. The guy's name is Bill Cunningham. Ever heard of that name before, Neffy, or no?
I love the
guy. He does a big American talk show every Sunday night. Never mind. I'm going along. Never mind. Yes, I'm moving on. But all right. So now, folks. Anyhow, so real quick before I get into the rest of what we have, I'm going to talk a bit tonight about the events and kind of when they happened in regards to Holy Week. So we have, what happened on Thursday, the Passover, and then the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll read some of the verses, from Matthew, and we'll talk about what happened and when it happened. Now, tomorrow night, I want to talk about the seven sayings of Jesus. They're not just, by the way, by sayings, I don't just mean like little sayings, little cliche things, or like little, No, these are the actual things that he said when he was on the cross. So I didn't just want you to think that I just used that, cliche word, sayings, quote unquote. Those are the seven things that Jesus said on the cross. And that's what I want to teach on tomorrow night with your listeners so that you can have them. Part of why I do this is so that you'll be able to tell people. What this means. All right. Now, let me mention a couple of real quick things that I normally do. If you have a veteran of the show, bear with me for just a minute, because at times, obviously, I'm sure, time to time, we have new listeners tuning in, so I like to tell them how they can be a part of a couple of things. By a couple of things, I mean as far as a book that we have and also the sowing a seed into the Miracle Man program. So because we may have new listeners is why I always take a few minutes to mention these couple of house things real quick. So first of all, real quick, the book, Rivers of Miracles. The book Rivers of Miracles is the story of my life. It's story of trials throughout my life. I've faced a lot of trials. And living today, listeners, everyone's got a bat. Everyone's got a bat. If you so, if you've never had a bat battle, how are you living on the earth? We have battles, listeners. But let me remind you of something. The victory is greater than the battle. And we know that's the truth. And there are victories that I've had in my life that are chronicled in that book. Look at my mom. She was saved in that book. She was addicted to drugs. She was taking alcohol and smoking. She gave her life to Jesus before she had me and got delivered and freed from all those things. I didn't do any of those things, but about other things, like cancer of the colon lining when I was extremely little, that I got healed of. Because I believe of the same God who can heal, the same God that can deliver is the same God that also heals bodies. And so this should really build up your faith if you just read this book. Go buy the book. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com. Again, the website for information on the book is riversri, as in ice cream, riversofmiracles.com. And you'll be happy that you did. It's not just something that I'm saying. It's something that I truly and honestly mean. And I don't want you to think that I'm just more or less just, you know, saying something. No, I mean it. So please, go buy the book for yourself. And why not buy another copy and sell it to someone else? Praise God. The other thing I want to remind you of is the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow a seed into the Miracle Hand program. And, of course, I pray that the show has had an impact on your life, whether you've been listening for the first time tonight, maybe you've listened for a few weeks, a few months, maybe for a year, 2 years, or ever since we launched this thing. And honestly, I pray that this has impacted your life in some way. And so, and I want to ask you to consider sowing a seed into the Miracle Man program to keep this thing going, to reach as many people as we can reach. And so if you want to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program, you can go online to paypal.com, and in the search bar, type in Rivers Shukla. That's my name. Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And then the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. And then please keep in mind that the first R in Rivers is capitalized. The other thing related to that that I want you to take note of is that the S in Shukla is capitalized. The other thing I want you to notice, the other thing that I want you to notice, please. I really want you to notice, in addition to this, that there is a space between rivers and Shukla. I tell you that just so that when you're sowing your seed, that it can go to the right place. There's a verse that I want to sow into your life as you sow your seed tonight. The verse I want to sow into your life when it comes to giving is, he who soweth sparingly shall reap. He who soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who soweth bountifully shall reap. They both reap. But it's according, but you reap according to how you sow. You reap what you sow. Reap a little. Sow a little. Reap a little. Sow some, reap some. Sow a lot, reap a lot. Sow above and beyond, bountifully, reap bountifully. So, and God looks at the heart, not strictly at the amount of dollars. What this means, I'm not going to get into this whole financial thing by any means at all. But I will just say, if your income goes up, your tithe should, of course, go up. Your offering should go up. And God looks at the percent, not strictly on the amount of what, how many dollars or what, if you live in another place, another continent, other currency that you give. Looks on the heart. And not just the percent, but even was Richard per se happy to sow a seed?
Hey,
what did he sow it out of? Yes?
Ray's trying to call to the show to get at it all.
But he's called my phone though. If you want to call in to my show, listeners, the number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. And then what you do is you press 1, call screener will let you in, and then you'll be able to talk to me. So to kind of give you a heads up as for what you got to do if you want to get on the program and be able to talk to me. All right. But what you do, well, about giving, sowing seed. What you do, you see, is, like I said, God looks at the heart. God knows whether Richard is sowing a seed because he wants to, or if he's sowing like grudgingly, I'm thinking, well, if I want any blessing at all, I better give. If I want anything at all, I better give. He knows out of the, he knows from the heart, and we should be happy to give. We should want to give because we love what the gospel has done in our lives. We should want to. Amen. And when I get notification that seed has been sown. I pray over it. I thank God for the seed, and I pray over it, and I pray over you. Amen. Now, I want to sing a couple of songs, and then I want to, then we'll get into the word of the Lord for this evening. We're going to get into two songs, and we're going to get into the word. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good. You are good all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good all the time, all the time. You are good. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Yes, Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. For who you are. For who you are. You are good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Moon and stars, they were.
cross. Oh, Lord. His body on the cross. His blood poured out for us. On the cross. I'm on him. The ground began to shake. The storm was rolled away. His living power cannot be overcome. Now, death, where is your sting? My resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. And the ground began to shake. The storm was rolled away. Earthly power cannot be overcome. Now, death, where is your sting? My resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. Forever he is lived glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Oh. Mm-hmm. Your cross speaks a better word than all the empty plains I've heard of on this earth. Speaks righteousness for me, stands in my defense. It's only by your blood. Your blood stands a better word than all the empty place I've heard of on this earth. Since righteousness for me stands in my defense, it's only by your blood. Yes. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash me white as snow? Welcome as the friends of God. Nothing but your blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus. Your cross speaks a better word than all the empty plains I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me, it stands upon my defense. It's only by your blood. Oh, what can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, what can wash me white as snow? Welcome as the friends of God. Nothing but the blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus. It's your blood, it's your blood. It's your blood, it's your blood. Oh, it's the blood, it's the blood. It's your blood, it's your blood. It's the blood, it's the blood. It's your blood, it's your blood. Oh, it's the blood, it's the blood. It's the blood, it's the blood. Oh. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but your blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash me white as snow? Welcome, as the friends of God. Nothing but the blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus. King Jesus. King Jesus. King Jesus. Oh, King Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's your blood, it's the blood. It's your blood, it's your blood. It's your blood, it's your blood. It's your blood, it's your blood. Oh, it's your blood, it's your blood. It's your blood, it's your blood. It's your blood, it's your blood. Oh, King Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this week, this holy week, for what this means for us, this covenant that we have because of you, Jesus, this covenant that we have in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for us, what you're doing for us right now. You're strengthening us. You're helping us to get through this life, to get through this maze of these last days. Thank you that you're strengthening us. You're making a way for us. When it seems like there is no way, you make a way. Thank you, Jesus. You always make a way. Always. Even when it seems like there is none, you make one. Thank you, Master, for that. I just thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now I thank you for this time of the word tonight, that these listeners have ears to hear, minds ready to receive what you have for them tonight. And I thank you for your will being done tonight through this word, as you're using me to speak. And now I make my confession over this program tonight. Sponsors and partners will come into this program in your name, Jesus. I pray that finances come into this program. I pray that increases in listenership will come to this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the Word says I have. And I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a religious book to me. It is more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer, therefore I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Go with me, please, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 27.
Praise God. Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to go through this with you based on the account of Matthew. I went through part of 26 previously, so we'll be skipping around 27 a little bit and into the start of with tomorrow night being just before Resurrection Sunday, I want to be able to get into the resurrection tomorrow. So, that being said, Matthew 27, I want to start with verse 1. Where it says, where it's about Judas hangs himself. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, who was the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized. With remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said. "Well, I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then it was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, which was the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord had commanded me. Now Jesus is before Pilate. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor. The governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony that they are bringing against you?" Jesus still gave no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release for you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Do not have anything to do with that innocent man. For I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of these two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus, whom you called Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. They shouted all the louder, crucify him. And Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting. He took water, washed his hands in front of them. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said to it. It's your responsibility. All the people answered, let his blood be on us and our children. So Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Now the soldiers mock him. 27. And the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe on it. Then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. Oh, folks, there goes the crown of thorns. That was one of the times that he shed his blood. They put a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Then they put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews! They said, they spit on him, took the staff, and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Let's talk about this crucifixion. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon. They forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But after taking it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. There were two robbers, one on his left, one on his right, one on his left. And then the robbers say, you know, if you saved others, you can save yourself and us. He trusts in God, let God rescue him now. If he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God. In that same way, the robbers who were crucified with him, also heaped insults on him. Verse 45. Darkness came on, at the sixth hour, darkness came upon the land, And it stayed over the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split. The tombs broke open. The bodies of them, the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city, appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were so overjoyed and so happy, and they were like, "Hallelujah!" Oh, sorry about that. When those guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself became a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out in the rock. He rolled a stone, a big stone, in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still aware, I mean that he was still alive, that the deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead." This last deception will be worse than the first. take her god. Pilate answered, said, go make the tomb as secure as you know how. They went, made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone, posting a guard. Wow. So talk about kind of some timings, listeners, some timings as to what happened. So Passover, which is Thursday. Thursday evening would have been when they took communion together. Jesus and the disciples take communion, and they, they do the bread and the fruit with the fruit of the vine. Jesus tells them, take, eat, this is my body. And he's taking some time to explain to him what's going to happen. After that, Jesus goes to pray with the disciples. And all the disciples fall asleep. And everything that happens there. Then the betrayer comes. Judas comes, betraying Jesus. Friday morning. On the time of Friday morning is when they start doing all these attacks on Jesus. And they are getting ready to on Friday, that's when they're doing all these attacks on him. And he's shedding his blood, all these different attacks. They're the crown of thorns, the whipping post, and these other things that all took place, which he did for us. And you can go back to last night's program if you missed it, to find out what I said about the five different times that Jesus shed his blood. There were five different times that he shed his blood for us. And they all mean something different. So that's going on Friday morning. Into the afternoon even. So throughout the day Friday, be thinking about that. Throughout the whole day Friday. Like up to like a certain time Friday night, Friday afternoon or so. And then at 12 o'clock, darkness came over the land. The sun literally stopped shining. It became dark, like as if it was 12 midnight, not 12 noon. And it stayed that way until the ninth hour, 3 p.m. But one could think it was 3 a.m. because it was super dark. And around the ninth hour, so about 3 o'clock, that's when Jesus made that cry. My God, why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? They give him a sponge. They try to give him a sponge. Other people are like, leave him alone.
And then he basically says it's finished, and he breathes his last. And then and then early Saturday morning, they put him in his own new tomb where no one had ever been. It was a tomb on the rock. Wait a minute. Back it up. We read something and I forgot to mention it. After Jesus had breathed his last, so by this point he's breathed his last, the earth shook, the rock split, and I don't think it was no tiny little earthquake. No, that thing was powerful. And you know what we're going to see someday? Jesus is going to split the eastern sky. And that's going to be awesome. It'll be greater than any three-point shot you ever see, but greater than any touchdown you ever see scored, any home run you ever see get hit out of Comerica Park or some other ballpark, anywhere. Any better than any hockey or soccer goal you ever see be scored. Oh, my goodness. You have no idea. It'll be so awesome. They put him in the tomb. And they secured the tomb. Because they didn't want the body to just somehow be stolen. So they wanted it secure. And so he was not suffering all that time just for himself. He was doing that for us. And he literally said before he got put on that cross, if it's possible, let the cup pass from me. Make it so I don't have to suffer, if it's possible. But then he said, if it's not possible, you know, and he says, you know, don't let my will, but let your will be done, he says to the Father. Your will, meaning the will of God. It was written in Scripture that this would happen with Jesus. Pre-written. So that, not to be surprised. Many things you see what happened in the Bible, they are prediction of scripture from Jeremiah and others. One of these days I'm going to teach on that. The predictions that were given by Jeremiah and the other prophets about Jesus and what all would happen. And I think it's just a cool thing that you see well throughout the different accounts of the gospel, where you see like it did this way to fulfill what was said by the prophet so and so. This will happen when you see that kind of stuff.
You didn't do all this stuff so you could live the way you want to. No way. He did this so you could live for him. And so that you could have a relationship with him. You don't have to kill an animal to talk to Jesus, to talk to God. Jesus is the way to the Father. Because under the old covenant, you had to kill all these animals if you committed a sin, all these different offerings, all these fellowship offerings, all these other things, get the animal from the flock. Some of us would be broke from all, would be totally broke from all the animals we'd have to go bring. We'd be so broke. And so, like, where do we go to get all this stuff? And some of these city folk would be like, how do we go get this stuff? But he did this for us. All of this. He bought our healing. He bought our salvation. He bought our deliverance. He bought us renewal for our mind. Which, by the way, your mind is the biggest thing you have to wash and bathe with the water of the Word of God. That's why reading your Bible is so important. You have to wash it. Pollutants of the day will get in there. Pollutants from other people, from the news. And all these other things, all these other sorts of media and all these other things. And so Jesus said, do not be conformed to the spirit of the world. You know, in Romans it says, do not conform to the spirit of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. You got to renew your mind. Wash your mind. Wash it with the water of the Word of God. The Word of God is like water to your mind. Amen. And I've been loving this teaching that I've been doing with you on this whole stuff on Easter. Tomorrow, what I want to teach on with you is the resurrection. And as in that, I want to give you the list of the seven sayings that Jesus said while he was on the cross. One of them is one we just read tonight. And for the others, you'll have to tune in tomorrow night. I'll give you the verse for each one, too, so you'll be able to write that down and have it for reference. Because people might ask, you know, what did Jesus say when he
was on the cross. Or your children might ask you, you know, about these times. When did this happen? And if you don't know the time, we don't know the time, we can say, you know, on Friday morning. It's part of when they were torturing him, Friday morning into the afternoon. It's that whole time between, like, very late Thursday night / Friday morning into the afternoon on Friday. Late afternoon Friday after 3 o'clock when he was... when he ended up breathing his last. Now, Israel time, which is where that happened, is like 7-8 hours ahead of us. But here in America, we can still go based on our time zone. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. Thank you for this time in your word tonight. Bless all those who tuned in tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us. May we not ask you. May we not just always be asking what you can do for us. But what can we do for you because of what you did for us? May we be able to do something for you. And I pray and I thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Amen. So, Tigers update. Since we talked last night, two games were played by the Tigers. The first game, which was wrapping up after the show was over last night, the Tigers beat the Red Sox by a score of 3-1. Down 1-0, and then Tigers got a 3-run homer in the 8th inning. This afternoon, the Tigers, however, fell to the Red Sox 3-1. No, excuse me, 5-3. 5-3. They had a 3-1 lead, but then in the 8th inning, the Red Sox went on an attack, and they ended up beating the Tigers 5-3. So, 5 games in, Tigers are 2-3. But hopefully they can win again. They'll try again tomorrow afternoon, weather permitting. Rain is in the forecast, but a high of 70 degrees. My hope is that we can keep the rain away. The sun, hopefully the sun can be out, and we can have 70 degrees. That's what I want. That's what I would love to see happen. But we'll have to just wait and see. Now, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.